Bill Flores joins us this morning from the district. Good morning. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good morning to you.
Hope you had a good Christmas.
Well, I did. I hope all of our listeners had a great Christmas as well.
Yeah, and you got to be home, which we weren't sure that was necessarily going to happen for any period of time. And I guess you get to stay home for a couple of more days, huh?
Well, I'm not sure yet. The president has announced with great fanfare that he's coming back to Washington today. I believe the Senate is going to start tomorrow. The House, we were told by our leadership that we would be called with 48 hours notice once there was something to talk about, and we have not gotten that notice yet.
Kind of interesting, a Gallup poll which was released this morning has shown a significant swing in public opinion, a 15-point shift this morning in less than a week. Only 50% of Americans think it's likely that some sort of a deal will be struck. 48% think it's unlikely. This was a poll that was conducted on the 21st and 22nd. A week ago, 57% thought that something was going to happen that was going to be able to work out. So, I don't know. That's at least what the general public is feeling. And you have any other thoughts that would be different than that?
Well, I think the public is probably reading this correctly, is that it's going to be very difficult to reach an agreement because there is a huge difference in terms of policy as to how we need to address this situation. If you look at other polls, they'll say that Americans, by an overwhelming margin, believe that the way to fix the deficit is to start with spending instead of tax increases. And so that's what we need to focus on in the House, is how are we going to get the spending under control. For instance, if you look at overall spending since 2008, which is all applicable to what's happened under Barack Obama, we've had a 19% growth in discretionary spending, about a 45% growth in mandatory spending, for a 29% growth in spending overall. So it's pretty easy to see where the problem is. If you look at taxes for fiscal year 2011, we had a little over $2.4 trillion in tax revenues, which is about the same as the peak year tax revenues back in 2007. Before the recession started. So you can see our tax revenues are about back where they should be, but the deficits have exploded, so we need to start on the spending side rather than the tax side.
Now, you know, one of the things that seems, at least from the outside looking in, is why didn't the House of Representatives just pass something so that you could send it over to the Senate, and if there's some sort of a problem, then it looks like it's the Senate that is causing the problem rather than the House being the roadblock and getting something to stop us from going over the cliff.
Well, that was one of the frustrations of many of what I'd call the rank-and-file GOP House members, is that, you know, for 4 weeks we could have done something, and we actually kept asking our leadership, give us, why don't we pass an extension of current tax rates, let's pass tax reform, let's pass spending reform, things like that. And the leadership, the response from leadership, and I think they responded in good faith. They were concerned that the Senate would load those bills up with stuff that we would find unacceptable, but yet would still have to be passed, and then the monkey would be back on our back. After we see everything that took place, I would have preferred to have done that, and then at least gotten something back. And maybe it's one of those situations where you vote present, let the Democrats pass it, and it still belongs to the Senate and still belongs to the president in terms of the fiscal cliff problems. Because the Senate, Harry Reid's solution and Barack Obama's solutions are not going to fix the fiscal cliff. They're just going to exaggerate the problems we've got with the economy. And so I would have preferred to do that, but I think our leadership, and again, I think they did it in good faith, just thought it was going to backfire on us.
Bill Flores joining us this morning in the district and maybe going back to D.C. before the end of the week. I want to shift gears for a second just to show that there are so many different balls that you have to keep your eye on with this. We've talked about fiscal cliff and how things are changing after the first. I guess first, before we leave that, is there a possibility we go over the cliff, then you pass something, and to reassure people, any changes you make maybe in midway through January or whatever would be retroactive back to January 1? Is that what the intent would be if you're able to fix this?
Yes, sir. That is one of the options that we could work on, is to try to do a retroactive fix. I can just tell you, though, there are ideological differences on how to resolve this. Harry Reid believes that we can tax our way out of it. We in the House believe that we need to stop the spending, and so it's still going to be difficult, without a doubt, to get this thing fixed.
And you know, and I understand, especially conservatives, only think about the expenditures are being, well, gosh, money that we're paying people who don't deserve it. But, you know, one of the things that I know is something that you watch very carefully are veterans benefits. And those numbers have skyrocketed, certainly. And I know that you're asking for some more information as to where those dollars are going and what the future holds as far as benefits for veterans.
Yeah, let me say something. By the way, we haven't announced this yet, but it'll come out pretty soon. I've been appointed to be the chairman of the Economic Opportunity Subcommittee for the Veterans Affairs Committee. So I'm looking forward to trying to be able to provide better job opportunities for our veterans in that role as we go forward in the 113th Congress. Here's the situation. We spend more and more money every year on veterans benefits, but they're not really having the impact that we would like. And so we've got to continually reassess several things. One is the culture of the VA. For instance, over the fiscal 2012 and 2013, the VA reprogrammed about $5 billion away from veterans health benefits to what I'm going to call other. We're trying to figure out, A, why they do that, B, who gave the authorization to do it, and C, where is the other, and why, you know, it needs to go back to veterans' benefits. The second thing is, you know, they spent $6 million on this series of luxury conferences in Orlando.
Right.
And so we've got a cultural problem that is less concerned about the veteran and more concerned about the bureaucracy. Well, I'd like to turn that around. But eventually we've got to get back into why does the Veterans Administration exist and who is our client, if you will, and it's the vet. We need to fix the issues that they're dealing with every day. And we've got to do it in a manner that's fair to the taxpayer.
So the idea, gather some information and use that to move forward, that's what you're asking to do now?
Yes, sir, that's correct, particularly on the morbidity problems that we have. We've got a suicide problem among our younger returning military men and women after they've moved on to the roles of the Veterans Administration. We're seeing some pretty high suicide rates, and we need to get into the weeds on that and find out what's going on, particularly with we're having prescription drug overdoses from VA prescribed drugs. We've got to figure out what's going on there.
So Bill Flohr is joining us this morning from the district. So now, again, one of the other balls that you have to keep your eye on, nearly 90,000 workers signed up for federal disability benefits in December. That's the biggest increase for that month in the history of the program. This is part of Social Security. This is the SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance. It's at a new high. We've got almost 9 million workers who are now collecting disability from Social Security, which is different than the other. This is another fund that yet again could go broke within the next couple of years. What do we do to attack the idea of people who aren't on unemployment anymore, but now they're getting disability checks from Social Security?
Well, the SSDI fund has been gamed to become an extended unemployment fund by millions of people, millions of American people. The first thing we do to fix all this is to grow our economy. I mean, there's no better social program than a private sector paycheck. You've heard me talk about that before. So if we could start focusing on the income side of the equation, give people the opportunity to get jobs, then we'd have to worry less about those that are going on to SSDI. Look, this is just another one of the problems we've got because we've got 200 different sorts of income transfer programs in the federal government. Federal government's even set up this dumb website where people can go see what their benefits are. Yeah. In all these different programs, you answer a few questions, it'll tell you what you're eligible for. To me, that's not what the federal government's role is to be the income assurance for everybody in the country. To me, we ought to go back to self-reliance and self-accountability, but create an economic environment where everybody can have a job.
You know, I was reading an article from a guy in Investor's Business Daily. Just to give you an idea, President Obama had created 291,000 jobs. We're talking about almost four times that many people went on disability during that same period of time. And again, like you say, if there are websites that are telling people how to get a government check, that's the kind of thing that has... Why can't you as a member of Congress stop that from happening?
Well, I mean, we passed bills to stop this stuff, but not every single problem. But we have tried to attack these issues. However, we get no traction at all from the White House or from the Senate. And so, again, it's that whole excuse I continue to use, is that we're one half of one third of our constitutional government system, and we can't fix it on our own, and we got to have some help. But we're getting absolutely no help. We're going to continue to try, though. This, as I've said before, this will get fixed either when the people that finance the country decide they're no longer going to finance it, or when we come up with a long-term solution to fix it on our own.
All right, we're ready for it. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays, sometimes like today when Congress isn't even in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great talk to you. I hope everybody has a great 2013 and that they'll remember to pray for our military men and women and our first responders.